go through it very quickly, and then we have a list of the sames and similars that we can adopt, and then we're down to the differences. So who's going to go through it?
I think Kathy.
Kathy is.
Madam Chair and members, Section 5 of the House Bill conforms Minnesota Data Privacy Act to some changes that were made in the federal FERPA law, which is the data privacy for education. On page R2, there's three changes that are made. One is to allow the disclosure of disciplinary proceedings when there is a violent crime. The second one is to disclose registered sex offenders. And the third is the disclosure of alcohol or drug use in violation of policies. And the House amended that by adding a waiver signed by the student. The next section.
Excuse me, does the Senate have this anywhere?
Madam Chair, we have this. It was Senator Hahn had a bill, and it's in Judiciary, but we only had the provisions that are in queue about the alcohol and drug abuse, and we don't have the waiver.
Madam Chair?
Representative Rukavina.
Can I suggest that we and I don't know how you want to do this, but we only have an hour here, if I'm understanding. So if we could just, if it's okay with the House and Senate members, we just make a motion to adopt the same language right now.
We can do that. We have the sheet passed out to everyone.
I have the sheet here in front of me, and then we could go over the similar language because it's fairly, there's nothing controversial, I don't think, in that. And then we could discuss this and a few other provisions that are different.
That's fine.
So, Madam Chair,
we can be a little more expedited. We don't have copies, though, of that right yet, unless I'm wrong. I'm the only one who didn't have a copy. No, I've got Maya's copy. But I want to make sure everyone had a copy of the sames and similars. And if the audience probably knows.
Well, Madam Chair, if I could go through the list if you wanted me to.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And move on page R4 and R5, the resident student for state grant, which is includes the spouse of a veteran, which was a request from the governor's office. I'd move that. And then on R5 and 6, the Senate language, again, will eliminate the sunset on a state grant for living and miscellaneous expenses. On R11, the TEACH program, where they can use that administrative money, which was an oversight from last year's bill. On R11, both those items dealing with private school registration, with some technical changes that I think OAC wanted. R11 and 12, again, language I think from OHE. And on R12, the private school technical changes. On R12, the conditional approval for new schools. This is all non-controversial language, I think, from OHE. R12, again, the private school R13, unauthorized representation prohibited. And then on R13 and 14, specification of fees for degree and non-degree programs. R16, the bond requirements for schools. R17, the requirements for school license by state agencies or boards. R18 and 19, the exemptions for Chapter 141. And then I think the transfer authority for Indian scholarships is the same, and we'll deal with that other little difference later. And then the performance bonding, which is agreed upon, my understanding, by finance and the youth. I'll move that.
Is there anyone in the audience that wants to comment on any of the same items that are in the bill? Okay, then Representative Rukavina moves that we adopt all the same items. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails.
And then, Madam Chair, on the similar language, do you just want to have either one or other of the council?
Tell us the difference and what's your recommendation.
Madam Chair, the Indian scholarship language, basically the difference is that this is on page R6. The Senate language differentiates how they calculate the awards for undergraduates and graduate students, so that language would be preferable. It's a little more distinct how that calculation is done. And then in reading through it, this is more just a suggestion on R7, line 2.33, deleting and shelter and just inserting housing on that line.
Okay, on the Senate language.
On the Senate. Line 2.33.
On that left side.
So food and housing, it's going to read? Yeah.
Just, it would just be food, housing, books, supplies, rather than food and shelter.
Food, comma, housing. Madam Chair, I would move the Senate language with that amendment. And do we need to vote on the amendment first? I'll move the little amendment.
Senator, that's fine. Representative Rukavina moves the amendment on line 2.33 on R7. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails.
And then I'll move the Senate language on the Union College report.
Okay.
I'm always giving it to you.
That's good. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Just keep it up.
Well, I give you one, so now I get smoking shacks. So I'll move the smoking shack language that's in
point
the...
Point of order.
It's not before us. Sorry.
It's in this main bill, so it's germane.
They're doing that.
You're doing such a role.
Unauthorized representation prohibited. We're going to hold on this one. It's Department of Ed.
Okay. That's on R17. It's just a minor difference. On line 10.31 on the Senate side and 79.17 on the House side, the Senate says that the school and the House says that such school.
Well, I really want to go with the House, but I want correct grammar.
I believe that
you
was...
You guys never agree
with this. Take out all the that suches.
I'll move the Senate language.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Okay. Okay, so we're going to hold on the data sharing. That's being negotiated in the K-12 bill for now, and I think also in the judiciary bill. So what else is different?
You mean it. Okay. Nothing.
Back to the first provision?
Well, the first provision is...
No, it's a different data sharing.
Yeah. You mean that little language on subdivision 11 there and on both sides? You don't want to...
The chair of the K-12 committee in the Senate asked for us not to adopt that.
Do we even want it in this bill then?
Maybe not. We don't have to make a motion on it.
Yeah.
But we should leave the option, in case we do need to put it in this bill before we close it out.
Okay.
All right. So now we're back to what Ms. Novak was explaining on Section 5 in the House bill, this private data issue.
Well, Madam Chair, if you'd like, this was Representative Marquardt's provision that we heard in the higher ed bill, and...
I would want to have this in because I think it's a reasonable request, and I think it has been something that parents have been seeking, as well as it's a good safety item for students and institutions to be helping to... we want our students to mature well, and we want them to make good decisions, and we need to be able to help them along that way, and this is something that they'll be more actively prepared between parents and students and institutions to be able to face that future maturity need by thinking about alcohol and making good decisions.
Is there anyone in the audience that wants to comment on this section?
Well, Madam Chair, if I could.
Representative Rukavina.
You know, I think we put the waiver in there that for the students to sign. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my libertarian streak doesn't like any of this language, but when we did put the student has to sign the release form.
And that's for the alcohol.
For the whole rest of the, I mean, basically it's for the whole, it's for the whole section.
Does it also apply to 0 and P, Ms. Novak?
I'm not sure.
Madam Chair, the other two provisions, 0 and P, are somewhat different. They don't directly apply to the conduct of an individual student, but rather the P is for someone who is on campus who is a registered sex offender, and it would allow the college to disclose that information as that information is disclosed to other in other parts of society. And O is, it has to do with when a violent crime occurs, that the it permits, it does not require, but it permits the institution to disclose the results of any disciplinary proceedings when a violent crime occurs.
And who are they disclosing it to?
I believe it's to, it can be disclosed to the victim of the violent crime or to other interested parties.
Okay, any other comments from the
parties? I'd move this provision.
Okay, Representative Poppy moves to adopt the House provision on R1, Section 5. Any other comments? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Then, okay, we're skipping over the other data. Resident students, it has been adopted.
R3.
Where?
P20.
Oh, P20.
Which one are we doing?
The P20 and the House side, I think that's still alive in the K-12 bill, too.
Madam Chair, it is in the policy bill, the K-12
policy bill. I have not been asked to not adopt this. Is there any reason why we should adopt it here in case the other bill gets vetoed? Anybody have any preference?
Madam Chair, I think there's people in the audience that have some concerns with the current language. I don't know if we're, are we going to include this in the bill?
Well, that's my question. Is anyone in the audience want to comment on the P20 partnership?
Oh, excuse me, I was already jumping ahead.
You were jumping ahead?
Yes.
The P20 partnership, I think it's all worked out.
I thought it was too, and I think it's in the other bill.
Okay, does anyone want to make a motion to include it? Okay. Anybody on the House side? No? Okay.
I think.
All right, that's fine. Okay, this next provision on resident student we adopted surplus appropriation, that's also in the finance bill, I believe. And good Indian scholarships.
Madam Chair, we don't have a list. Are you going over differences? Because we have a different list, and we have a House list, and of course, I suppose yours is in color over there.
No, it's not the same.
But we don't have it, so you're jumping around, and we're trying to catch up to you.
Well, I thought I was just kind of following kind of the page.
Can you kind of tell us where you're at then?
Well, I'm not at anywhere. I was about to announce, though, that why don't we look at the Minsky board membership?
Manager, what page?
Which is on R14.
Pardon me?
R14 and R15 on the House language. This language in the House, we have gotten a letter from the governor that he opposes it.
Well, Madam Chair, you know, I really do think it's important to have some type of, as we do on the Board of Regents, some type of labor representation. We've always had that tradition on the Board of Regents. Furthermore, given the makeup of the Board of Trustees right now, it seems to be lacking folks who are working class folks who send their children to public institutions. And so that's the reason I included it in there. And, you know, the governor has problems with all of mine. So,
Me too.
Yeah, I know, this is no. But I do have an amendment that I think would be a very good compromise, and being that I'm a compromiser, as I am.
Before you introduce that, could I just ask, I don't see Ms. Hegard in the audience. Is Ms. Vessel here from the governor's office? I was kind of wanting to get an update on the status of the Minsky appointees, because I know the board had made some recommendations that included some labor people, but I don't see anybody here that can tell us about that. That's unfortunate.
Madam Chair, I'd just
Mr.
assume...
Mr. Janice, chair? Jerry here? To know about the update? Or anyone else from Minsky know about this data?
Mr. Ullman is here.
No? You don't know? Bernie doesn't know?
Is there anybody here that knows anything?
Nobody knows anything. Well, let's just adopt it then.
Let's go ahead. I'll make the motion that we adopt the language as
Madam
is.
Chair? Yes? I did receive a memo from the governor's office saying that they were not approving of this.
And I did too, Representative, but I sent a message and asked him to appoint a labor person to the board, and I wanted to know what the status was on that. Well, we might just have to hold the bill open until we find out.
Well, again, Madam Chair, you know, I'm willing to compromise, and I've got an amendment here if staff wants to, somebody wants to pass it on.
A4?
Yeah, it's the A4 amendment, and let me just explain it. I'll give some copies.
That's right. Please, where's our
staff and the other senators? Do you need more? But what it does is basically.
Do you know what Claire wrote on this?
What it does is basically similar to what the what we do with other appointments and what we do with the actually with the three student members who are suggested by their different boards. And what this does then is it appoints two members. Ms. Nowak, is that?
Mr. Chair, that's correct.
Two members at the AFL-CIO, if you look on page 2. It screens candidates using a similar process, and then it recommends presents a list to the governor, and the governor makes his selection off of that list submitted by the AFL-CIO. So, Madam Chair, I would move that amendment to my language then. So that would put two members instead of the four that I had in there currently. Mm-hmm. The governor would have a list, and he would select two members off of the list. The spirit of compromising with our...
Does anybody in the audience want to comment on the amendment? Okay, Representative Rukavina moves the A4 amendment to...
the language on R14.
The and House language, section 22.
And I think section 23, too, and 24.
Section 23 and section 24 are deleted, and this section language is inserted. Oh, right there in the amendment.
Yeah.
22 and 23. What's 24?
Well, that would be the process that...
So that is kept in?
Yeah, that's the...
Okay, so your amendment is to delete section 22 and 23 and insert the new section 22 and 23. Oh, you have a new 24, too.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
and
delete 24 and insert the new 24.
And section 29, too.
On R30.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me, section 39, it moves the date out for the, for all of this to happen to 2010.
Okay. Okay. Any questions about the amendment? Representative Rukavina moves the A4 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. All right. So now we come to section R15, section 12 on the Senate side. Members, this is came from Senator Clark, and there was a concern last year. We put a limit of credits in law, and some of the colleges have said they're having a difficult time delivering their program within the 60 or the 120 credit limit. And there is a waiver process through Minscu, I believe. And this asks for a report on how often that's used. Yes, Mr. Fuller.
Madam Chair, Representative Kavina, have you received the opinion of your amendment that we just adopted on 3.11, whether limiting the governor's appointment by a private body doesn't impinge on his constitutional authority to make appointments?
Well, I thought that
1.11.
Where are you at, Mr. Fuller?
On the amendment?
1.21 for 1.11.
Yeah.
Oh, that.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm giving him a list to choose from, so.
There is case law that says that you cannot impinge on that. But you could give him a list, but I mean, maybe Ms. Novak had some recent developments, but my understanding was you couldn't limit the governor's ability to pick from the universe the people who are otherwise qualified.
But so you could recommend to the governor, just like the Minscu Advisory Board recommends, but you can't ultimately require.
I'm wondering if there's new information. That was my understanding.
Madam Chair.
Representative Rukavina.
I mean, it is, there are recommendations, although he's got to pick off of that list. So I think it's halfway constitutional.
Senator Lynch.
Madam Chair, how about line 2.5? The governor is not bound by these recommendations.
Yeah, correct.
Madam Chair.
Ms. Novak.
Madam Chair, that deals with recommendations from the advisory council. That.
That's why that language is there, I think, for the reasons that you can't bind the governor.
So how do we fix this? Ultimately, we have to say the governor's not bound by these.
Madam Chair, I would then move to fix that language up and have staff make the recommendations to insert the proper language. Mr. Fuller and Ms. Novak, do you understand what I'm saying here?
Do you just delete 111, 112?
Well,
or do you add two members are encouraged to be appointed from recommendations by labor organizations?
Madam Chair, can we trust them to make the appropriate language to address the concern then? And so it's similar to the language then on current language on 2.4 and 2.5.
Okay, Representative Rukavina moves that the staff develop parallel language so that ultimately the governor is not bound by these recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. Motion prevails.
No. Mr. Fuller, please quit being so attentive over there. Would you?
What did you say?
As we move forward.
Okay, we're back to R15, the maximum credit for graduation. This is just a report from Minscu to identify how many requests that were made, so we can kind of.
I'm sure the students have supported that language, and I know there's been some concerns, and I think there's some fear that's been expressed about that language that we put in the bill last year. But could we just maybe hear? I don't know if the students want to comment on that at all. If they don't, I'll just assume that they support the Senate language that you're putting in there. I see there's a couple of them.
They're okay with it.
They're saying, oh, they're okay with it. Okay. I'll move the Senate language then, Section 12.
Okay, Rukavina moves Section 12 on page R15 of the Senate language. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. Motion prevails. Okay. House language on R15 and R16.
Madam Chair.
Ms. Novak.
This provision adds colleges to the state universities for the use of the revenue fund at Minsku.
That's it?
Students. Right.
But Minsku doesn't object.
Because the two-year institutions
it's just
don't have it, right.
One word on 7712.
And I think the students requested this, even though they're going to be paying for it, I think so, you know.
Okay. Senator Lynch moves the House language on Section 26 on R15.
And it's 27. No, okay, yeah. Okay.
All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Okay, then R19 and 20
House language.
It was House language.
Madam Chair, this is an amendment to an existing loan program that clarifies the requirements for when a recipient of the loan is teaching part-time. Clarifying language.
Who brought this to you?
I think there was concern brought to Representative Hosh, if I'm not mistaken, that some nurses didn't were disqualified from the program, Ms. Novak?
Mr. Chair, that's correct. Originally, it dealt with the nursing part of the program, and then in the Health Policy Committee in the House, it was amended to include all of the eligible recipients to clarify that teaching is based on a credit hour rather than a clock hour.
So they can qualify for this. Okay. It's good language.
Yep. Senator Sharon, do you know anything about that?
No, I don't.
So I'll move the House language then, Madam Chair.
Okay, Senator Rukavina moves Section 31 on line R19 in the House language. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. If I forget to say, does anyone want to comment, please raise your hand wildly. Section... Let's see, in the Senate side, R20 and 21 and R28 and 30, the oral health practitioner, maybe this is not in the House side. Does Senator Lynch want to explain this for provision?
Yes, thanks, Madam Chair. Members, what you see before you is the result of a lot of work and compromise on behalf of the stakeholders, and I'm... would suggest that the provision, the language contained in this, has the support of the Minsky Institutions, the University of Minnesota, the Dental Association. It might be appropriate to suggest that they are comfortable with this language. And the crux of this is that we are indicating that we have a desire to move forward with an oral health practitioner with the first graduates to be practicing in the year 2011. So there is adequate time between now adoption of this language and then to further develop the curriculum and further define the statute, the scope.
So the idea is they're going to be serving low-income, uninsured, and underserved patients.
Yes.
In shortage areas, yes, in rural Minnesota and in the inner cities. And be working under supervision of a dentist.
Madam Chair, that's a good point. The supervision and there are two things I'll comment on. One, this is entirely voluntary in that... this arrangement only works under the supervision of a Minnesota licensed dentist and only in conjunction with a written collaborative agreement between that Minnesota licensed dentist and this newly created mid-level practitioner. So without that agreement, without that desire on both parts of the those practitioners, that will be permitted to happen if they so desire.
Madam Chair.
Representative Rukavina.
Madam Chair, you know, I have had concerns about this, and I know a lot of the dentists in my area have, and actually dental students, too, have called me. But I know that Senator Lynch has worked hard on this and Representative Powell in trying to compromise, but I think there are still some concerns with the Board of Dentistry and the dentists themselves, and I see there's a representative from the Board of Dentistry in the audience, and I think there were some suggested amendments to this in a letter. And also, I'd like to know if the dentists then are on board. So could they come up and testify? Can we pull a chair up for them?
I think they're supposed to sit there.
Or sit over there? Okay.
I don't know why, but come far away. Please come forward. Senator Lynch.
And Madam Chair, while they're coming forward, I know that on the side-by-side it says there's no comparable provision in the House, but I would just argue that Representative Tao did have a small provision that came forward in the House. I don't see it appearing here right now.
I remember being at a hearing where it was brought up and discussed.
I asked my staff to go find that for us.
Okay, welcome. Will you identify yourself?
Thank you. My name is Marshall Schrag, and I'm the Executive Director of the Minnesota Board of Dentistry. And I just want to thank you for bringing this up at this time. The board has not taken an official position as to the oral health practitioner, whether they're in favor of or opposed to the position. What my letter to each of you senators and representatives was intended to do was to illustrate that the board, the Department of Health, the board, and the Council of Health Boards are the three state institutions, agencies that are established to look at scope of practice issues, to look at education, accreditation, and testing of health professionals, and that that the role that is established in this process, although there's been a lot of time spent on it, the recommendation or suggestions are that it could be better and could utilize the existing state resources in a better way. So the suggestion is that the board is responsible for reviewing and actually being involved with the accreditation process, and we go to site visits all across the country to make sure that the programs that are involved with the education of dentists, hygienists, and assistants that we license are appropriate and that they're meeting the standards. What we're suggesting is that that the board actually have formal approval, which is taken away without adding that language. It provides that approval of an accredited body or of a program to another group, which is the work group. So I guess that's a minor change in language, which would be that the National Accreditation Organization, to the extent required under Subdivision 2 and approved by the board. So that language, which is on line 12.
Can you find that? Is that under the Section 21 of the Subdivision?
Madam Chair, I think there's an amendment that was drafted for this. Representative McFarland, did you have it?
I do have it. I didn't want to. I mean, I'll pass it out, but I don't know if I want to introduce it until we hear all the testimony.
Okay.
Would that
maybe
work?
Maybe it would be easy to follow because I think Mr. Schrag is working out his letter.
I'm working off my letter, you're right.
Which I think has the lines in the bill, too. But maybe.
It does refer to the lines in the bill, as you've stated. I'm not sure if the side by side is. It would be in the Senate bill because it's not on the House language.
It was drafted this morning, so it's up to date on the right lines.
Thank you.
You need a copy.
I looked at your letter on the House floor the other day, and I thought that adding seven representatives of the Council of Health Boards, I mean, that seemed a little excessive.
And
one
well, the Council of Health Boards actually acts as a process and has done at the request of the legislature through either the House Health Policy or the Senate Health Policy Committees looked at emerging health professions and it assesses those and then provides questions and comments to the legislature. So it actually goes through a lot of the process. It is comprised, there are 16 independent state agencies that are health boards. And so the council draws from that and has the executive directors and members of the boards of each of those that that is then assigned to look at each emerging health profession. So seven is the number that we generally work with to review that.
All
health boards, because we're looking at emerging professions and overlapping scope of practice and all those types of issues with the health profession. So there's experience there that that could be brought to the process through involving the council.
So you already have, I think, 13 members. So you're adding 13.
Senator Pappas and Senator Pappas, I know the membership, I guess, has been addressed by groups that the board was not involved with. These are recommendations that the board would have made to ensure that there was representation of each of the of the dental professions that we regulate. Our processes at the board are open and actually attract and involve representatives from the Dental Hygiene Association, Dental Hygiene Educators Association, the Dental Association, the Dental Assistants Association, and the Educators of Dental Assistants. So those are the groups that we rely on in order to make policy or to influence policy, rather. And so the suggestion was that they also be involved. I'm less concerned about that membership. It's been discussed. I'm more concerned about the role of the board in being able to have that approval of the education program. And so I guess that's where I would like to place the emphasis.
And that's the page 12.
That would be on page 12, lines 33 and 34. Senator Pappas, Representative Rukavina, I'd like to point out too that I mean the reason that this letter came was not to increase any tensions. I know that there's been a lot of work to reach a compromise, and all I would like to do is state that the board is concerned that that it should have a greater role, and that language on page 12, 33, and 34 would do that for us.
Madam Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The board has indicated that they, up to this point, have had no position on this proposed legislation. Although it has been certainly under much discussion, and so I think it's sort of interesting that this letter came to us just yesterday. But let me just provide a little bit of comment. On page R28, specifically on lines, starting on line 17.23, 17.25, where it talks about the role of this practitioner work group that is to be pulled together. The work group that's proposed, the establishment and makeup of that work group was determined after much discussion and compromise by all stakeholders involved. And clearly one of the charges of that work group is to further discuss and determine the appropriate program accreditation. That specifically appears on line 17.25. So I would just suggest that during the discussions in putting this together, there was concern and discussion and a desire to work with and have the Board of Dentistry be a part of this. But frankly, it was felt that the work group and those various stakeholders were would be in the best position to determine what that appropriate accreditation and role would be. On page R29, beginning on lines 18.21, that details for you what the membership currently is. And just by way of background, during one of our meetings and discussion, and it was sort of a brainstorming of, you know, what would this membership look like and who would be involved. And at one point, there were probably no fewer than 49 people on this work group. And there was some realization, I think, that's reflected here, that as much as we want the various entities represented in a very real part of that discussion, there was also some recognition that to add an inordinate amount of individuals to the table might not be of best service either. So I do have very grave concerns about extending that membership as is being suggested in the amendment, and I hope that I have pointed out that with regard to the program accreditation, that is a responsibility and a charge that work group will further determine, and in fact will come back to the legislature next session with specific recommendations. And I would just suggest that would be the more appropriate time. If there are to be statutory changes with regard to program accreditation, that would be the appropriate time for that to happen. And frankly, I would expect that would take place after that has been more fully discussed. Mm-hmm.
Well, Senator Lynch, let's just kind of break this down. On page 12, line 34, the Board of Dentistry is asking. On R20.
R20. Thank you.
Sorry, on the House side, it's 12. Mm-hmm. That I believe at the end of that line, so it would read, be a graduate of an oral health practitioner education program that is accredited by a national accreditation organization to the extent required under Subdivision 2, and approved by the board. Is that correct?
That's what I'm requesting.
Well, Madam Chair.
Okay. Is Mr. Swag, is that your name?
Schrag.
Swag?
Schrag. S-H-R-A-G-G.
S-H-R-A-G-G.
Sorry.
Did you say earlier that you normally do approve programs?
We do. We do for initial licensure registration of hygienists, assistants, and dentists, and for continuing education or professional development, for additional training that's required as a matter of course of getting additional certification. The board approves curricula and programs.
So if a for-profit entity, a career college, mm-hmm. came in and they were going to train dental hygienists, they'd have to get approved by your board?
That's correct. They would. The board would only approve them if they were for a hygiene or dental program, if they went through a national accreditation program that the board recognizes and is involved with.
Madam Chair,
Senator Iverson,
does the same hold true then? I mean, if Minsky starts up another program for dental hygienists and that at another two-year institution, we'll say you have to go in and you're the one that approves that on their recommendation? Or once it's been approved for Minsky with the same curriculum, you don't have to?
Minsky has a number of dental assisting and hygiene programs throughout the state, and they do go through that established accreditation process. I recognize this is an emerging profession, one that doesn't have an accreditation opportunity other than through some an educational accreditation rather than a professional accreditation. And so the board would still have an interest in ensuring that that there are certain competencies and compliance with program standards that were met in order for us to then be able to license somebody as being competent.
And I don't know, Madam Chair, if I direct this question to my good friend from Rochester, Senator Lynch. HR. Or to you, Mr. Sprague, but is there right now, is there any program like this that's been accredited in the country anywhere?
This is brand new. So the answer is no, there's no accreditation established.
So it does say in the legislation that they have to pass a comprehensive competency-based clinical examination that's approved by the board.
Yes. And that's a critical step.
Are you assuming, Senator Lynch, that there is going to be a national accrediting organization by the time these students graduate that could accredit the program?
Madam Chair, it's my understanding that accreditation doesn't exist currently because, as Representative Rukavina pointed out, this is new and emerging. I do not believe, and just as a matter of practicality, you will need to have your practitioners, and after you have your established practitioners, accreditation will follow, absolutely. I think Mr. Schreg has pointed out a real critical component of this. This is an emerging field, and frankly, as a matter of practicality, the truth is there's a need to create a mid-level practitioner. There is a desire in healthcare reform to enable practitioners to practice at the top of their license, and this is a step to move us in that direction.
Okay, let's say that we all agree on that, and then we just want to work on the amendment.
But from a practical standpoint, having the Board of Dentistry first approve that, I'm very hesitant, frankly. I'm very hesitant because that could have already happened. That could have happened 10 years ago, 5 years ago, last year. And so it is my strong suggestion and strong desire that the work group that's established will further discuss this. The board is a part of that work group, and we'll have input into what the legislation that's brought forward next session looks like. And at that point in time, that would be the appropriate time to entertain statutory language along this line.
Well, Madam Chair.
Representative Rukavina.
Madam Chair, and I can understand, Senator Lynch's concern, because it's a big concern of mine. I have a very aged population of dentists on the Iron Range. And in fact, my dentist retired last summer, and nobody bought his practice. And in fact, we've had two dentists in Virginia retire, and nobody has bought their practice. But I don't know if an oral practitioner solves that problem. Is there anybody here from the university itself?
Or the Minsky program.
But the dental program at the university has not been graduating as many people as it should be and as it has in the past, and that's a real issue. So now we're going off to a brand new program that isn't accredited anywhere in the country, and we're putting language in this bill, and
it's not only, I don't mean to interrupt you, but it's not only a problem of not enough dentists, it's not enough dentists willing to serve in these areas and not enough dentists willing to serve these patients because there just isn't, they can't even recoup their costs. So that's why we need a mid-level practitioner for simple procedures and for preventive care because the dentists, they can't afford to do it.
Well, and that's getting to be true in all medical fields as it relates to rural Minnesota versus working, in the Twin Cities or in the thing.
Absolutely.
But it's very common
to see a nurse practitioner.
But, Madam Chair,
care.
I'll pull your – would you want me pulling your teeth? And then I'll have a dentist work on mine. Kind of like we're chopped liver, in rural Minnesota. Well, I don't know. From what I heard initially, they could do procedures like pulling teeth. I don't know. I heard that. That was in the initial – proposal.
Well, Representative Rukavina, you bring up a very, very serious concern, though. I was at, and I think it was in Rochester, Good Samaritan Clinic is in Rochester with the Poverty Commission. And there were so many people without dental coverage coming into that clinic that needed root canals, but they hadn't had routine preventive care done that a mid-level practitioner could do. And so they ended up having their teeth pulled. And I had never been in a community before where there were so many people with missing teeth. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, it was outrageous that in Rochester, which is this medical mecca, that poor people, working people without insurance, without dental coverage, and you know what the dental coverage is now, it's 50%. I had two root canals the last couple of years. And
I would do those for you.
Thank you. 50%. There's still a lot of money you got to come with. Up with out of pocket, well,
and 50%. And that's my concern here. And the other thing, and I know you worked on it, Senator Lynch, to make sure that if we establish this program, that these people are going to serve in rural Minnesota and in poor areas. But that's probably going to cost some money. And you and I, if we're still chairs of this committee, are going to probably have to address that someday on some type of
right.
loan buy-down program or whatever, because you know that's a whole other issue. But Madam Chair, you know, we could discuss this all day, and so we
you
don't
feel
have.
You need to have this amendment in order to adopt this provision.
Right, and so I would suggest that Senator Lynch works with the Board of Dentistry and the dentists, because right now my dentists are still very concerned about this.
Madam Chair,
I'd like to just call a short recess.
Okay. Dominic.